Marriage Today presents David the Winner by Jimmy Evans.
We're learning from the life of King David, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And this is a good one this morning because we're going to talk about David the Winner. We're going to talk about the story of David and Goliath. And this is one of the most inspirational stories in the entire Bible because, you know, David was a young boy who killed a 9-foot-tall giant with a slingshot. And it's very inspirational. Because all of us in our lives face a giant, whether it's a disease or an infirmity or a relationship issue or a financial issue or just something in life where we feel like we're outmatched. David is an inspirational figure in this story, to say the least, of how he overcame Goliath. But the premise of this entire message is what I'm about to say right now. David killed Goliath not because of how he fought, but how he thought. Any soldier in Israel could have done what David did because there was really nothing that remarkable about it. He threw a rock out of a slingshot toward a giant. Anyone could have done the same thing if they would have been thinking like David thought. But here's the interesting thing. When David killed Goliath, before that, for 40 days, Goliath had been taunting Israel, and all the trained soldiers, the greatest soldiers in Israel, were afraid to go up against Goliath. But the interesting thing is, once David killed Goliath, mighty men began to arise out of the ranks of Israel and do phenomenal things that they had never been able to do before, because when they saw what David did and they began to be trained by David to think like he thought, they began to do these incredible things. Now, I ask you to turn to 1 Samuel 17, stay there. But 2 Samuel 23 records the mighty men of David. David had 37 men who arose out of the ranks of the army around him to become his mighty men. And they just did these incredible things. Let me just give you a few examples of what David's mighty men did. In 2 Samuel 23:8, one of his mighty men was called Adino the Esnite. Adino the Esnite killed 800 men at one time in one battle. One man killed 800 men with a sword. They didn't have guns. They didn't have machine guns. They didn't have weapons of mass destruction. Adino was a weapon of mass destruction. It would be hard to kill 800 men with a handgun. I know because I tried it once. But think about it. I mean, killing 800 people with any conventional sense, I mean, it would take a while and it would be tough. He did it with a sword. Adino the Esnite. The most feared words in Israel were, Adino doesn't like you. There was another man named Abishai, 2 Samuel 23:18. Abishai killed, this is one of David's mighty men, he killed 300 men with a spear at one time in one battle. Again, it's remarkable. 2 Samuel 23, verses 20 and 21, Benaiah is another one of David's mighty men, just an incredible person. It says he killed two lion-like heroes of Moab, two men who were lion-like, killed them at the same time. And then it says he went down and killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. So, a friend of his calls him up and says, hey, Benaiah, you want to go kill lions? He said, I kill lions all the time. That's boring. We're going to kill him in a pit. I've done that before too, while it's snowing. Sounds like fun. Let's go. I mean, this guy was bored. He had to find something really exciting like that to do. Then it says he killed an Egyptian that the Bible called a spectacular man. And the interesting thing about the way he killed the Egyptian, think about it now. Think about the movies or something, some spectacular superhero. This Egyptian was a spectacular man. He went down with a staff, a stick, and took the Egyptian's weapon away from him and killed him with it. In other words, just going after him with a weapon wasn't exciting enough. Benaiah was one bad dude. Now, the creepiest kill of all came from Jonathan, David's nephew. 1 Chronicles 20, verses 6 and 7 talks about David's nephew killed a giant who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. If there's anything more creepy than a giant coming after you, it's a 6-fingered and toed giant coming after you. And he killed him. When David killed Goliath, they began to rise up and do these incredible feats, because they began to think like David thought. I want to say something to you. You can defeat the Goliaths that are in your life right now. You were born for victory. You were born for success. You may have had a season of failure or problems or defeat or setbacks, but that was in the past. Once you learn how to think, you can do remarkable things through the power of God. Now, we're going to read the story of David and Goliath. We're going to skip around just a little bit to shorten it. But we're going to read this story that we're going to talk about what made David such a great thinker. This is 1 Samuel 17. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and the Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Now this is verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." This is verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God." And that's just part of the story. We'll read just excerpts of the story as I talk about these issues. David was a unique individual, to say the least. And he was able to kill a 9-foot-tall giant when no one else could because of the way he thought. Here are the four elements of great thinking. If you're going to be a great thinker, you're talented. You're very talented because God put talents and giftings in you. It's not the issue. You're destined for greatness. That's not the issue. But the way you think will determine what you do in life. And here are the four elements of great thinking. Number one is faith thinking. All great thinkers are faith thinkers. All the men of Israel were fear thinkers. They were locked in fear, but David was a faith thinker. And faith thinking focuses on the reward. Fear thinking focuses on the consequences if I fail. And so David was obsessed with the reward. He kept asking, "What's going to be done for the man who kills this giant?" This is verse 25 of 1 Samuel 17. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and give him his daughter." That's before Facebook, so you're hoping she's cute. He may be trying to pawn off, the daughter he can't marry off. So, "and give his father's house exemption for taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." See, everybody else was locked in fear. Fear is expecting the devil to move. Faith is expecting God to move. Fear is obsessed with the negative consequences of failure, but faith is obsessed with the positive consequences of obedience. And so David knows when Goliath starts coming up against the armies of Israel, Saul goes to his soldiers to inspire somebody to go against him. He's not going to make anybody do it. But to inspire them, he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to give you my daughter. And I'm going to exempt your father's house from taxes forever. Let me tell you something. That is one good deal. But not one person took him up on it. They were fear thinkers. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith thinking is two things. It's number one, it's God-focused, and number two is it's reward-focused. Faith thinking means God is with me. God is. God is with me, and God is a rewarder. And so everyone else, I guess they had forgotten that God was there, and they didn't think that there would be. They thought they were going to get killed. They were just locked in fear. David kept asking the men around him, now tell me one more time, what's going to happen to the guy who kills him? He was a faith thinker. He was a positive thinker. And so understand, nothing is going to happen in this life by fear. Fear, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. I want to say something to you right now. You can do anything that God told you to do. Anything the Bible tells you to do, anything that God tells you to do, you can do it if you have faith in God. If you don't have faith in God, you can't do it. If you have faith in God, nothing will be impossible with you. So David was a faith thinker rather than a fear thinker. The second element of great thinking is four-dimensional thinking. David was a four-dimensional thinker. In other words, he didn't just see in the three dimensions. He knew that there was a spirit realm that could not be seen. This is 1 Samuel 17:26. David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Uncircumcised. David called Goliath uncircumcised several times. And I want to be careful in how I talk about this, but let me talk about circumcision for just a minute. Now, God came to Abraham and made a covenant with Abraham. And God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. This is the covenant land I'm going to give you. I'm going to make your descendants like the stars of the sky, and whoever blesses you, I'll bless, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And he said, this is an everlasting covenant, and we're going to seal the deal with circumcision. Circumcision. Abraham, you're going to be circumcised, and all of your male descendants are going to be circumcised. On the eighth day, after a boy is born, on the eighth day, that boy will be circumcised. And this is the sign of the covenant between us. Now, when I look down and I see circumcision, this is what God says, when I look down and see circumcision, I'm going to release every blessing of the covenant that I have promised to you. Protection, provision, multiplication. I'm going to release that blessing to you. Now, when I look down and I see a male descendant of yours who is not circumcised, you let him be cut off from the children of Israel, because he has broken covenant with me. So circumcision wasn't just this medical procedure that was done on male children. It was a spiritual procedure that brought that child under the protective covering of God's blessing, where God says, if they bless you, I'll bless them. If they curse you, I'll curse them. Goliath was uncircumcised. He was not a Jew. And for 40 days, he had been cursing Israel and their God. And for 40 days, the armies of Israel were literally trembling in their boots. That's what the Bible says. Goliath came down, an uncircumcised man, not in covenant with him, and he was provoking the side of the covenant that God said, if anyone curses you, I'll curse them. Okay, so David shows up. Everybody else gets afraid of Goliath. David gets mad. And he says, who is this? Who is this chump? This uncircumcised chump down here, uncircumcised. And probably one of the other soldiers said, would you lower your voice? He's probably a little bit self-conscious about it. You're going to get us all killed. It's a very private medical thing. You don't talk about those things, David. David said, no private medical thing. I'm under the covering of my covenant God because I'm circumcised. That man, A, is not circumcised, so he's not in covenant. And B, he's been cursing us for 40 days. He's cursed. I'm blessed. He's cursed. I'm going to kill him. He's a four-dimensional thinker. Well, let me say something to you. We don't live in three dimensions. There's a spirit realm around us. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith because God lives in the invisible realm. There are angels in this place. Did you know that? There are angels in this place. And Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. God is in the invisible realm here with us. We have angels in the invisible realm here with us. And all the armies of Israel, see, one of the schemes of the devil is to so overwhelm us with problems in the natural realm that we become so overwhelmed we forget that God's with us. And this is exactly what he did with this 9-foot-tall giant. When Goliath stepped out, if it would have been an ordinary-looking soldier of the Philistines that stepped out, I mean, somebody would have already fought him and maybe killed him, but this was an overwhelming human being. And Goliath steps out, and his spear and his sword and everything about him is overwhelming, and they're just standing there with their jaw open, with their knees knocking, thinking, oh my gosh, we can't kill him. David shows up to the battle line and says, who is that uncircumcised chump? He ain't circumcised. He didn't have a chance. He's not in the covenant. We're in the covenant. We're the covenant people of God. This is the story of Joshua and Caleb in the promised land. They had been spies and they came out of the promised land. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Joshua and Caleb walked in and saw a land full of giants. The promised land wasn't one giant named Goliath. It was a nation full of giants. And God said, go take your land. You can kill those giants. And 10 of the spies came out and said, we were like grasshoppers in our sight. And the people wept and wanted to go back to Egypt. Joshua and Caleb came out and said, those people, their protection has been lifted from them. And they're going to be our prey. Because God is with us and God is not with them, because Joshua and Caleb were four-dimensional thinkers and they knew that there was a spirit realm, and because the spirit of God had departed from them, they were without protection. But they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of the negative report of people who did not acknowledge the fourth dimension and the power of God. God's with you. He's with you. If you remember that God is with you and there's angels with you and your children, if you remember that the overwhelming power of God constantly attends you, if our eyes could only be open, listen, if our eyes could only be open to the spirit realm, we would never have a moment of fear again for the rest of our lives. But through eyes of faith, they can be open if you just believe what the Bible says. That greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And God is with us every day, wherever we go. David knew that. I want to read this to you, because your view of reality will always come out of your mouth. Everyone else was afraid. Everyone else was giving a bad report. But here's what David said when he attacked Goliath. It tells you his worldview. 1 Samuel 17. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines, the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly should know that the Lord does not save with the spear, sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. This kid didn't have one ounce of fear in his body because he knew that God was with him. It comes out of your mouth. It comes out of your confession. It's the old saying, don't tell God how big your mountains are. You tell your mountains how big your God is. Don't sit around talking negative. Don't sit around rehearsing all the bad things going on in your life. You've got God with you. And when you put your eyes on God and you believe in the power of God, there'll be nothing impossible for you. But there's a fourth dimension. And David was a four-dimensional thinker. Here's another one. Fresh thinking. He had never used his, that we know of, David had never used a slingshot before. He had used a knife. When the lion or bear came against one of his father's sheep, David said, I took him by the beard and I struck him with my knife and I killed him there. Why did David use a slingshot? Listen to me. You were not going to defeat Goliath with conventional weapons. That everyone had a sword and spear, and he had a sword and spear. The only problem was his sword was a lot longer than yours, and he was going to kill you way before you ever got close to him. It was like two boxers, and one of them has arms 6 feet long, and the other one has arms 3 feet long. Guess who's going to win that fight? His sword was much longer than yours, and with conventional weapons, there's no way in the world you're going to get close enough to lay a hand or a sword on Goliath. And that's what all the armies of Israel knew, and that's why they couldn't do anything. But for 40 days, they never had a fresh thought until David showed up. And David, Saul tried to put his armor on David. David said, no, I don't want that. But David came up with a new idea. And the new idea was this. If I go against him with a spear, it's gonna put him on guard, and he's gonna throw his spear at me and kill me way before I can get to him. Because he's stronger than me and his sword's bigger than mine. But if I go against him with a slingshot, he's not going to take it seriously. I don't have to get close enough for him to hit me with his sword, but I can get close enough to throw a projectile at him and hit him in the forehead. And it really doesn't matter, because once the rock gets in the air, an angel's going to take it and throw it at him anyway. Because God's on my side. It's not me and Goliath. It's me and God against Goliath. So if I can just get close enough to throw a projectile at him. And so sure enough, when David comes running down the hill, Goliath said, am I a dog that you come against me with sticks? And he didn't take it seriously. He got on his heels. And David got close enough and hit him right in the middle of the forehead. Fresh thinking. It's amazing. It was Albert Einstein who said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, hoping for different results. You've always done the same thing with money. It's never worked, but you keep doing the same thing with money. You've always treated people the same way. It's never worked, but you keep treating people the same way. You've always talked the same way. It's always brought back results, but you still talk the same way. It's not working. Or maybe it worked at one time, but it doesn't work anymore. That's true of a lot of things. There was a season when it was of God. There was a season when it was fresh, and it worked back then, but it's not working now. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll lead you into all truth. I treated Karen the same way for years into our marriage, and it never worked. It only brought us to the brink of divorce. But I wouldn't change. You know what I thought? I thought, one day she'll get it. One day she did, and she almost left me. And I read that verse one morning where it says, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And that night, I prayed a prayer and said, Holy Spirit, teach me how to be a husband. He changed every thought in my head. I never treated Karen the same again. Are you ready for some fresh thinking? Are you ready to do some things you've never done before? Because he'll give you creative ideas. And if you're so stuck in ruts, and if you're so prideful, and if you're so married to tradition that you can't do something that's never done before, you will not make a good warrior in God's camp. The most creative people on earth should be spirit-filled Christians, because we've got God on our side. The best business people, the best musicians, the best artists, the best mathematicians, the best engineers, the best architects, the best in every category, the best people ought to be Christians, because we have got the Spirit of truth leading us if we'll just follow him. And David was a humble guy. He shows up at the battle line and he realizes conventional weapons are not going to win this fight. I need a fresh idea. And he pulls out a slingshot and says, bingo, in Hebrew, bingo. I'm trying to keep you interested here. I'm almost through. One more. Fresh thinking. And the last one's forceful thinking. He didn't have one person encouraging him. Not one. Not one person said, David, you can do this. He shows up to the battle line. His brother accuses him of having evil motives. That's what happens when he shows up to the battle line. Then King Saul said, you can't kill him. You ever had somebody tell you it couldn't be done? You can't kill him, boy. You're just a boy. He's been a warrior since he was a boy. And then Goliath. What are you? My dog, you come against me with sticks, I'm going to kill you, boy. David has no encouragement, but he's a forceful thinker. Let me say something. The devil's evil and he hates you. And he has agents in this world, and they'll use their mouth to try to overwhelm you. And even though God has told you to do it, and it's his destiny for you to do it, you'll not do it unless you have a forceful mind. Be respectful, because David was respectful. He was not arrogant. He was respectful of every person who came against him. But I want you to understand, the devil's not going to lay down and play dead just because you show up. And if you're going to do what God wants you to do with this life, you're going to have some people say some bad things to you. And I'm sure you already have. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not good looking enough. You're not talented enough. It can't be done. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. The greatest basketball player that ever lived was cut from his high school basketball team. But he had the presence of mind and the force of mind to say, I can do this. I know this is my destiny, and I'm not going to give up.
This concludes session 4. Please continue with David the Waiting King Part 1, the next teaching in this series.